Tonight, God's Word comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7. We're going to begin our reading at verse 25 and then read through the end of this chapter. 1 Corinthians 7, beginning at verse 25, what we hear now is God's Word. Now concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, those who have wives live as those who had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as those who had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed, if his passions are strong, and it has to be, let him do as he wishes, let them marry. It is no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity, but having his desire under control, and has determined this in his heart, to keep her as his betrothed, he will do well. So then, he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. Yet in my judgment, she is happier if she remains as she is, and I think that I too have the Spirit of God. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight we continue our series on holiness in our lives. Holy living. We have talked about holiness as husbands. We have talked about holiness as wives. And so it is fitting, it is proper for us to discuss holiness in being single. I think it's easy for us, maybe particularly in the church culture, to overlook those who are single among us, the particular challenges that they have. And so we want to once again tonight address the Word of God to all of us. I said that these sermons are for all. Even if this is not your particular state of being right now, in order that we might better pray for one another, it's good to be reminded of God's call to husbands and to wives and to those who are single. Now, I will quickly confess, I have not been single for over 40 years. But you didn't come to hear about my life or my ideas. We came to be instructed, by the Word of God and to see what God teaches to those particularly who are single in life at this point. It is a difficult text that we look at tonight. It is difficult on a number of levels. First of all, it's a difficult text to translate. There's questions about the meaning of some particular words. You have at the very beginning, verse 25, now concerning the betrothed. And maybe some of you have a footnote in your Bible, which would read, now concerning virgins. I think the footnote reading is actually a better reading. I won't get into why. But it's a difficult text to translate, to know what the words mean. And beyond that, it's a difficult text to interpret. What is the point Paul is trying to make? What is his argument in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians? Now, tonight, we are not going to do an exegetical study of this text. That might be profitable in a different occasion. But tonight, we're going to see what Paul says to the church. And remember, Paul is addressing particular issues, particular problems in the church at Corinth. We studied Corinthians not so long ago. Remember, Paul knew this church. He knew them well. And it appears that they wrote a letter to Paul and asked him a number of questions about issues they were facing. We see at the beginning of chapter 7, he says this, now concerning the matters about which you wrote, Paul is going to answer questions they had for him. He says, now concerning the matters about which you wrote, quote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. They wrote him asking about that. And he's going to respond to that in a variety of ways. He says in verse 2, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. He's going to answer their question. He'll go on in verse 8. Now, to the unmarried and to the widows, I say, it is good for them to remain single as I am. He goes on in verse 10. To the married, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband. And then again in verse 12. To the rest, I say, I, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. What's the nature of the relationship of men and women in marriage? Or those who are not married. The point Paul is trying to make in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 can be summed up in verses 17 and verse 20. Verse 17 says this, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. In verse 20, each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. What Paul is saying is, look, when it comes to walking with the Lord, it doesn't matter if you're married or if you're single. If you're married, it's fine to be married. If you're single, it's fine to be single. One is not a more honorable state than the other. Let each person lead the life the Lord has assigned to them and to which God has called them. He's going to give instruction to the church, and it's important to remember that this is apostolic instruction. Some have suggested that in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul is simply expressing an opinion. They read verse 25, now concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Paul's just giving an opinion at this point. He's not really declaring what the Lord has said. I have no command from the Lord. And they back that up by looking at verse 10, where he says,
To the married, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. And contrast that with verse 12, which says, to the rest I say, I, not the Lord. As if in one sense, Paul is speaking on God's behalf, and in the other, he's simply saying, this is my advice. This is what I think you should do. That is not what Paul is doing. He's going to give us apostolic instruction, whether we are married or whether we are single. When Paul says, to the married I give this command, not I but the Lord, he is saying, look, this is something Christ himself taught you, and I'm simply reiterating it to you. But when he says in verse 12, to the rest I say, I, not the Lord, doesn't mean it's of less importance or less value. He's saying, look, Christ never taught on this. So I'm going to give you the apostolic instruction, which is why he says in verse 25, now concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord. God, Christ didn't teach on this on earth. But I give my judgment, my apostolic authoritative judgment, as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. We don't pick and choose what parts of the Word of God are authoritative. It is all His holy Word. And tonight, God Himself, through His apostle, instructs us on the nature of holiness in being single. He says in verse 26, I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if the betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. Paul says, in view of the present distress, it's good to remain as you are. If you are unmarried, then in view of the present distress, remain in that condition. What is this present distress that Paul is alluding to? Some suggest that they truly believe at this point that the end of the age was imminent. That was the present distress. The tribulation is going to come. The difficulties are going to come. And in light of that, it is good if you are single to remain single. Now, while that is a possibility, the words that are used here are not eschatological words. They're not the typical words we would use to describe that end times tribulation. So I don't think that's what he's talking about here. Some suggest Paul is referring to an imminent persecution of the church, that they knew persecution was coming, and in light of that, if you are single, it's better to remain single. But there's no external evidence that that ever took place, so that's not what's going on here. Some suggest there's a possible famine going on and saying, look, in light of the difficulty of providing for yourself, it's better to remain as you are. It could be that case. I think Paul helps us by spelling out what he means. It's a little bit of a strange way he puts it. But look in verse 29. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none. Let those who mourn as though they were not mourning. And those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing. And those who buy as though they had no goods. And those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it, for the present form of this world is passing away. What he is saying is, there are trials, there are difficulties that are more difficult if you are in the condition of marriage rather than the condition of being single. He talks about emotional concerns. He speaks about mourning and rejoicing. And we think about that as those who are married and particularly if our children are going through some particular trial or difficulty, we mourn along with them. Now, when you are single, to be sure, you have a family. You have a mother and father, perhaps brothers and sisters, but you have no spouse of your own to mourn if things go badly, or no children of your own to mourn in times of difficulty. Paul says you can avoid those difficulties. You can avoid those trials by remaining as you are, single. He talks about financial concerns, buying and selling goods. And certainly, financial concerns are a concern for every family. Perhaps especially for husbands and fathers in a family. We are concerned about how we will support our wife and our children. That's on a husband's, father's mind all the time. How will I support my family? Now, I do not mean to suggest in any way tonight that if you are single, you have no financial concerns. I am not saying that at all. Everyone has financial concerns. Everyone has to find a way to pay all the bills. But if you are single, those concerns are your own. You are not worried about how that will affect your spouse or your children. When you are single, you are free to make all the financial choices that need to be made. There is a certain freedom there. In a married household, in a home, there are always other constraints pushing in on us. Others dependent on us. Those who are single can avoid that difficulty, not meaning you have an easy life, not meaning there are no financial concerns, but the concerns are your own, not affecting someone else. And in a marriage, in singleness too, there's always a sense in our heart of wanting more. Greed is always close to us. And I think that greed can be compounded in marriage and family in a way it is not when you are single. In marriage and family, if you can't do everything you'd like to do, the sense of wanting more can be fueled by your spouse or by your children. Why can't we take a vacation like so-and-so does? Why can't we have a house like so-and-so does? Why can't we have a life like so-and-so has? And those things can press in on us. When you are single, you still might have that greed, but it is internal. The choices you make affect only you. So Paul says, I want you to avoid these difficulties, the emotional constraints, the financial concerns. Even the greed we have to wrestle with is different when we are single or when we are married. And Paul says, beyond simply avoiding the difficulties, there are some particular blessings that accrue to you when you are single and not married. He says in verse 32, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. The married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. To secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. There's always competition for our time. When you are in a marriage, when you are in a family, your spouse wants your time, your children want your time, there are constraints. When you are single, there is a certain blessedness there. That aside from the time you have to go to work, we know we all have to go to work, but aside from that, your time is your own. You don't have to divide it between spouse and between children. You can just take time to spend in God's Word and in prayer the way that a married person cannot. There is a certain freedom. There's a certain blessing that you're not divided in your time, but you have an undivided devotion to God. You have a particular opportunity for service to God. Now again, we recognize we have to work in the constraints of our jobs, the constraints of the work that we have. But if someone comes to someone who's married or someone with children and says, hey, there's a mission trip planned. It leaves in 2 weeks. Why don't you come along with us? Well, when you're married, one of the first phrases that you learn is, I'll check with my spouse. That's one of the first phrases that you learn. No matter what, come over for dinner, I'll check with my spouse. When you're single, there's no one to check with. Again, if you've perhaps banked some PTO from your work, and someone says, hey, in 2 weeks we're going on a mission trip down to South America, you want to come along? You don't have to check with anybody. You have a certain freedom for service. You don't have to figure out who's going to bring the kids to piano lessons, who's going to get them to their soccer game, who's going to get them to their music concert, who's going to do all these things. You have a particular freedom to serve God with undivided devotion. Freedom for service. And I want to encourage you tonight, particularly if you are single. I want to encourage you to take advantage of that freedom. Because I think if there's a sin that those who are single have to wrestle with, it is the sin of self-centeredness. In many ways, your life revolves around you. Like I said, nobody to check with. Your life revolves around you. You're responsible to no one else. You have a great deal of freedom. And it's easy to forget that freedom, that blessing from God, can be used in the service of others. You belong to the family of God. You have brothers and sisters in the Lord. You can serve others here. You don't have to go someplace else. You can serve others here. And there are wonderful opportunities for service for those who are married, but also for those who are single, even in the church. Just a couple come to mind. I think about serving in the nursery. Now think about this. Most of the people who serve in the nursery are mothers of the children. That makes sense. But these mothers spend all week taking care of their own children. And then when it's their turn to serve in nursery, they come to church and take care of other kids that are brats as well. So, give them a break. those of you who are single might enjoy time spent with the children. They would enjoy time spent with you, and you can be of service to others in the church. We have the hospitality committee. Hospitality is so important in the life of the church, and I'm so thankful to see a number of single people serving on hospitality. It may be as simple as putting out the cookies and serving the coffee. That's a wonderful service. You don't have to be married to do that. This is service you can provide for others, a visitation ministry. We always have the list in the bulletin of those who are unable to come to church, unable to get out, those who are at Inland Home and elsewhere, to stop by and visit. You have perhaps a greater freedom, but you have to avoid that self-centeredness. You have to see beyond yourself and see the opportunities God gives to you. To volunteer, we volunteer for Food for Life. We have Vacation Bible School coming up. We need volunteers for that. There's a certain freedom you have to give of your time, to give of your talents, to serve God with undivided devotion. Paul's message in 1 Corinthians 7, serve God where you are. Serve God as you are. God does not only save married people. God saves single people as well. The gospel call doesn't only go to families and husbands and wives. It goes to all. It goes to all who will hear that gospel call, who will hear the call of Jesus Christ to come to Him, to embrace Him, to know His love and grace, and then to live out your life in light of that. Whether you are married, whether you are single, Paul's point is whatever situation you find yourself in, serve God now. If you're married, fine. Serve God in your marriage. Serve God in that way. If you're single, you have particular things that are blessings to you. Yes, there are challenges as well. We know those. We've talked about those. But particular opportunities where you might serve in a way that no one else can. Paul calls us to be devoted to God. Whether married, whether single, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Let's join together for prayer. Lord our God, we thank you for your holy word, a word that speaks to all of us, whatever our station in life might be. We've talked tonight, particularly, Lord God, about those who are single. We thank you that in our congregation, you've given us many single adults, and we thank you for each and every one of them. We pray, Lord God, that we might hold them in our prayers and encourage them because they do have particular challenges that they face. And we also ask, oh God, that they might see a particular blessing in their life as well, that you allow them to serve in particular ways. Lord God, may all of us, because of what Jesus Christ has done, may all of us give ourselves in undivided devotion unto you. Hear our prayer, Lord God, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We turn to number 502 in the Trinity Psalter hymnal. And number 502, all for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my being's ransomed powers, all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2, and then verse 4 and 5. Verses 1 and 2, 4 and 5, number 502, let's stand together as we sing.